Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is a good one. Man, every single time we come back, I don't know what songs that you're going to play.
Do you know this?
Hang on. Let me think about it. Oh, wait. Oh, I do know this. Hang on. Let me think. Back on 92.9 The Game, I'm still trying to think about what... Wait, what? Okay, what song is it?
This is the overture from Tommy, the rock opera.
Oh,
by who?
No idea. Yeah, sorry. I'm too young. Ah! No, sorry.
I was going to be really impressed.
I didn't know it. You always throw good ones at me. It sounded good. I enjoyed it. 1 p.m. Sorry, not 1 p.m. I wish it was 1 p.m. 1 a.m. here. It's not. It's 1 a.m. here on the East Coast. Hour number three as we kick it off here on the show without a name so far. I'm Thomas Mott, new kid on the block, along with Marshall Parker, my fantastic producer who also throws songs at me and makes people think that I'm like super, super young, which I guess I am, but overall, I'm trying, guys. I'm trying to learn all this Atlanta stuff and trying to know all these songs and Motley Crue. Oh, man, it's been fun. Listen, the Lakers lost, by the way, if you're just tuning in. We talked to LeBron James and how I feel like he's got to have a plan for this in hour number two, but you just watched the Lakers lose. They fall. They never really led in this game. I've been watching it kind of on my TV screen during the breaks. The Clippers dominated the entire time, led mostly by 10 in the fourth quarter, and the Lakers lose, and now they are even further out of that eighth playoff spot in the West. Right now, I think they're 5.5, it's 5.5 games back, and of course, the Clippers hold the tiebreaker. So the Hawks can help them out on Wednesday night when the San Antonio Spurs come to play. The Spurs are kind of hovering around that 7th, 8th, 9th spot. But right now it's the Clippers who are they're probably going to be the 8th seed, and they're going to be facing Golden State overall. The Lakers have lost again. That's their 5th and 6th nights. And Luke Walton's seat is hot, and Magic Johnson's seat, even though they paid him a bunch, is, I mean, it's a little warm. This is a lost season for the Lakers. They sit 30-34. LeBron had 27, but I don't know. I don't know what to tell you about the Lakers, guys. I think that there's a plan. I said that I think LeBron saw that he couldn't do anything about this season and is kind of taking games off, and they all know it. Let's move on now. And I want to throw the phone number out here because I need your help. 404-741-0929 as we talk Atlanta Braves baseball now. I didn't forget you, right? Hour number, it's 3.5 now because we started 30 minutes early. Hour number three. And we're going to talk Atlanta Braves. And, of course, I have Marshall Parker here in studio, my producer, to help me talk Braves because he is like the Braves guy. And I'm looking at these articles from sportstalkatlanta.com, and it's how realistic is signing Dallas Keuchel. And you and I went back and forth, Marshall, kind of in the breaks yesterday about how realistic it was the Braves brought in another big-name pitcher. And it's tough to kind of figure out because we know the story with Kimbrel. He wants too much money. And until he comes down, the Braves aren't going to give him $100 million for 6 years or whatever it is, the ridiculous amount of money that he wants. So now we go to Dallas Keuchel, who is still a better pitcher than your worst pitcher. Like, I think any rotation in the major leagues could technically bring Dallas Keuchel on and replace their worst pitcher, and they would have been better. Would you agree that that's
true?
Oh,
yeah, absolutely. So, although, you know, I think it's interesting that a lot of people gave us grief for bringing on Gausman last year because he hadn't exactly had great numbers with the Orioles, but we bring him in and change the scenery, different pitching coaches, and has a fantastic season and ends up being a great starter.
Well, and that's the case with Keuchel, is he technically had a kind of a down season last year. He was still good, but he wasn't as dominant as he was a couple years back with the Astros.
Sure.
And so now you maybe get a change of scenery here, which could be good. And I think it's a matter of how much money, I guess, they could be asking. And, of course, we've been seeing some reports that the Phillies and Nationals are also interested in possibly bringing in Dallas Keuchel. And then it's going to become an arms race, and that's going to raise the price for Dallas Keuchel. The question I have for you guys listening out there, we said it yesterday, would you rather have Keuchel or Kimbrel? And if you wouldn't want either of them, let us know. 404-741-0929. You, Marshall, I'm trying to remember, you'd rather have Keuchel?
I'd rather have Keuchel.
Why is that?
I think we need another frontline starter, and he gives us that opportunity. I think that if you're that desperate to have a top closer, then you need to be in a position to go deeper in the playoffs. And look, the Braves, I don't think, are there yet unless they can shore up their starting pitching.
Yes.
And I think that we do have the arms in AAA that are ready to at least fill in a bullpen role.
100%.
You can make them long-term relievers. Maybe you can even find one and groom him to be your closer, essentially finding the next Kimbrel.
Right, for a lot cheaper.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But finding another veteran starting pitcher that has the command that Keuchel does, I mean, that's important.
See,
and you haven't spent a lot of money so far this offseason. You spent, what, like $30 million?
That's it, and it was all early on.
Yeah.
You made a lot of great points there. I think it's interesting to kind of note, as you said, what needs to be done to get the Braves over the top is to improve the starting pitching. So then the question then becomes, Keuchel comes in, and he's better than he was last season, but he's not his Cy Young season, or gold, what was it, his Cy Young season, right?
His Cy Young season was, like, I think two seasons ago.
Right, so he's not that good.
But he's won, like, three gold gloves,
yes,
including last year.
Yes, so, like, that's what he keeps saying. He had a dip, but he's still good.
Right.
But is he then enough? Like, if you're just bringing in Dallas Keuchel, is that enough to actually get Braves fans where they're comfortable with the whole squad and going, all right, these are our chips, these are our guys, and we're going to ride them all the way as far as we can? Or is it going to take Keuchel plus having some of those young guys come up from AAA and, like, ball out? Is Keuchel alone enough?
I think it depends on how faulty and Soroka and Gohara and some of these guys that have struggled early on this season or early on this preseason spring training with shoulder soreness or elbow irritations. That's going to play a huge factor, and the Braves are already fighting an uphill battle dealing with these situations. And I mean, I guess thankfully it's happening in the spring
rather than
in July.
Yeah. And you and I were going through the list to try to figure out if they added Keuchel, who's the odd man out?
Tukey Toussaint.
It's Tukey Toussaint, right? Because he's younger.
But just barely.
Barely, though. And that's the thing, too. It's like not like Tukey doesn't play anymore, but obviously
and,
you can still
And not
him
only
in.
That, but I still think you got to find somebody to take Tehran.
Right.
Tehran doesn't fit with SunTrust. That's too small of a part for him.
Yes.
He struggles mightily there.
You got Harper coming in who plays great in SunTrust, right?
Like, absolutely.
He hits bombs there.
And so, yeah, no, I think you've got to find somebody to take him, get him away from here. That opens up the spot for Tukey. And, yeah, go from there.
MLBTradeRumors.com has kind of their latest update, an article by Steve Adams on MLBTradeRumors.com. They say that the Astros have not really talked to Dallas Keuchel in weeks to try to re-sign him, so it looks like he's not going to go back to be an Astro. So then they started kind of predicting where he could go, and obviously the Braves are number one with Folty having problems and Gausman having issues, and then they go back down to some other teams that could be interested in him. And listen, Clayton Kershaw is battling shoulder issues. It's funny, actually. I mentioned Clayton Kershaw. Everyone is freaking out about all these Brave starters and Folty having shoulder issues or elbow issues or arm issues or whatever. And yet it's looking like Kershaw, who has injury history, is not going to be ready for opening day, and no one seems to be worried about it. It's like, we have to remember that if Folty's not healthy for day one, or if a couple of the other guys aren't healthy for day one, however many aren't healthy, they're going to be healthy eventually. And it's not like it's going to be that long. Now, Folty comes back, and his first game throwing, you know, we're a week into the season, we're 2 weeks into the season, he's on the mound for the first time, and he only goes 2 1/3, right, or only goes 3 innings, and then he's shoulder surgery or shoulder soreness again, then you can start to worry about it a little bit. That's fair, but right now, I mean, yes, it'd be nice to add somebody, but I think we could be still decent enough if we didn't add anybody, because everyone keeps telling me how good the AAA prospects are, how good the young arms are. And, of course, MLBTradeRumors.com is showing that maybe the Dodgers could be interested in bringing in Keuchel. You know, the Cardinals, Carlos Martinez, might not be ready for the opening season, and there are going to be other injuries. So, really, this kind of feels like a Grady Jarrett thing, which we talked about in hour number one. It's like you can just wait until your demand becomes so high that people are willing to pay you even more. I mean, listen, we're still weeks away from opening day. And so there are plenty of other injuries that could happen. And then teams suddenly are like, oh, we just lost a starter for a while. He not just have a sore elbow. He needs surgery or whatever. Then you go overpay for Dallas Keuchel. And that could be a real thing that's happening. That's probably why Dallas is waiting. He's like, you know what? I'm going to get mine. And so I'll just make you Braves fans wait out a little bit. You know, it's like, we'll just, you know, soak the fire a little bit, and I'll sign whenever I'm ready. But yeah. I'm sure the Braves are calling and offering, right? I mean, we have no doubt about that.
Yeah, I would imagine there have been some conversations for sure. And I can't imagine that we get all the way through spring training and get to opening day and the Braves haven't made at least one more move.
Okay.
And I would bet that move would be to sign another starting pitcher.
Okay.
A veteran starting pitcher.
I guess the only way that doesn't happen is if, you know, the higher-ups inside the organization truly believe that all the injuries are not bad. Right? I mean, if they truly believe the injuries aren't bad, one, and then they truly believe, listen, these five that we're going to throw in the rotation along with all the young arms or whatever, if they believe in them more than we do as Braves fans, right? I mean, that's the only way that I see it not happening. Or, I guess, unless Dallas Keuchel wants some ridiculous amount of money, we just can't afford to pay him. But that's part of the other issue, too, that Atlanta Braves fans saw how much the Braves made last year, and we're all kind of sitting here like, okay, you spent $30 million at the beginning, cool. You know, sure, up at the third base side. But that's it.
Alex Anthopoulos said at the beginning of the offseason that the Braves could shop down any aisle they wanted.
He should not have said that.
No, he shouldn't.
God,
that is, yes.
Because we went to the dollar store.
Right.
And maybe got, you know, the dollar store isn't always a dollar. There's some $2 stuff there. You know, we got some nice things.
Hey, look, I'm happy with the additions
you
made.
Yes, I am too.
I'm cool with Donaldson. I'm cool with McCann coming back. But we've got the money.
Yeah, and to
make one big signing. And I'm sorry, it needs to be a starting pitcher.
And we did not go shopping down whatever aisle we wanted.
And you know
what?
I'm fine with us not going after Bryce Harper, Manny Machado, I'm fine with that. We didn't need that.
I mean, when we're talking about any aisle, listen, I think any Braves fan realized that Harper wasn't going to go. I think I read somewhere that they could have been willing to go like a 3-year deal, but Harper wanted 13. Like we re-signed
Markakis.
Yes.
And you know, we got him relatively cheap.
Yes.
So I'm fine with that too. Yeah, he may not be as good as he was last year or the year before that, but you know what? It's a stopgap.
And it's you shouldn't have said that we could shop anywhere. You should have been like, listen, we'll make the right move. If he would have come out and just said, listen, guys, we believe in our young talent. We believe in our young arms. We believe in our farm system. We will make additions if we feel it necessary. We probably wouldn't be having this conversation. But Atlanta fans, and I've been listening. I mean, I've been here for a couple weeks now. I've been listening. And you guys are like, okay, you said we had money. Let's spend it. And I'm all for that. And if it's Keuchel, if you somehow can go get Kimbrel for a discount, somehow go for it. We just got to wait and see. I don't know. Just sign one.
Just give me one.
There you go. Get one. You know what? Listen, we're going to continue the baseball talk on the other side of this break because, listen, Bryce Harper might be having a new teammate who's really, really good in a couple years because there are rumors starting to swirl. We're going to talk about that coming up. Hour number three, don't go anywhere. The Unnamed Show, Thomas Mott, 929 The Game. There's a good one. 92.9 The Game. Thomas Mott, Marshall Parker, sitting in with you as we wrap, well, not wrap up, we're halfway through our third and final hour here, and a great, great song being played there. A Steel Horse I Ride. I can't sing, but that's great. A great song. We are talking baseball here on 92.9 The Game. We've been talking a lot of Braves. We had a great show so far. We started recapping the Hawks. from 10 to 11. The Hawks lost 113 to 114. In reality, it's a tough loss to have. They should have lost the game by more, but they fought back. And, of course, right now I'm literally looking at the television showing us the replay of the game. And they're down three with 13 seconds left. And they're about to go to the line and then hit two. So then they're down one. Then you got a foul to make the Heat go to the line. And then you can play the free throw game. But they never got the foul off. And it was like, ugh. But, you know, we're learning. We're young. We're young Hawks. We're Trae Young. We're young. We're trying to learn. Here's a great opportunity to learn while also securing a nice high draft pick. Marshall, we get the high draft pick that we need. So don't win too much, right? We got to keep it high, even though we want to win. But it's tough.
We're still going to end up in like the fifth or sixth spot.
Five sounds great. Hey, you somehow get in the top three, even better. But five sounds pretty good right now to me. We also talked great Jarrett, who they have exercised the franchise tag, Atlanta Falcons, that is, to franchise tag Grady Jarrett. They gave a one-year deal, $15 million, but he still has until July 15th to negotiate a long-term deal. So essentially, they bought themselves some more time. We also talked Nick Foles going to the Jacksonville Jaguars. That's a great move for Nick Foles. And then, of course, Peyton Manning possibly being teed up to be the next Monday Night Football commentator. And then we got into a bunch of NBA talk. Trae Young, John Collins defensively. The Lakers lost. I'm watching LeBron James being interviewed right now. He looks rough. They lost 113 to 105. The Lakers are basically done. They will not make the playoffs this year. And then we start talking a little bit of baseball. And now an article popped up on my Twitter yesterday. And it was like, oh, great. Here we go. And it's from ESPN.com. And the article leads, and this is really bad. Okay, if you're driving right now, just stay safe because this article is going to make you upset if you're a Braves fan. How Mike Trout could wind up with Bryce Harper in Philly.
We want to bring a title back to D.C.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Well, Philly, Bryce. It's Philly. It's not D.C. We just paid you $330 million. You can't get that right. Oh, my gosh. Anyway. Perfect timing on that one, Marshall, by the way. Air high five. Good job.
We want to bring a title back to D.C.
Yes. We know, Bryce. We know. You're starstruck by all the millions you now have, and you forgot where you play.
D.C.
Yeah, D.C. Yeah. Where do you play? Huh? Where?
D.C.
No, you play in Philadelphia. Sorry. So, no, Philadelphia. Anyway. The article written by David Schoenfield, ESPN senior writer, lays it out exactly why Harper took $330 million. And that was, this was a number. We heard $300 million, right? That was the number.
He cut Philly a deal so they would have more money for Harper or for Trout later.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. You just took the segment, but you're 100% right. That's exactly what I was getting to. And the ESPN article says it right here. Harper took a little bit less in order for Mike Trout in 2 years, when he's a free agent in 2020, to go to Philadelphia and team up and play outfield for the Philadelphia Phillies.
That's absolutely ridiculous.
How does it make you feel, Braves fans?
Ugh.
Bad, right? God, you're going to vomit, right? It's really bad.
Great. But Bryce has never really, I don't know, when he was with the Nationals, he's done some damage against us, but I don't know.
You're only on Bryce Harper?
Yeah.
What do you think?
He's a great player. Okay, he's phenomenal. Right. He's going to be Hall of Famer. Mm-hmm. But, he's just one.
So then what you're saying is that you're not, like, terrified. You're like, oh, my gosh, we got to play Bryce Harper.
Yeah,
17,
no.
19
no.
times. This,
no,
oh,
not,
you know?
No,
okay,
not
good.
At all.
Okay, good. Yeah, I agree. I've seen Bryce Harper play in person. One of the few, I went to a Nats game when I lived in D.C. for a summer. I was there for 6 weeks. I went to two Nats games. I have no affiliation with them. But I got to see Bryce Harper play in person. He's a good player, right?
You bring Trout and put him there?
Yeah, that's okay. Houston, we have a problem.
Yeah, exactly.
What amazes me is that Mike Trout's been on the Angels for 7 years. 7 years already, right? And he's been the best player in baseball, essentially all seven.
How incredible is it that two of the most talented players in all of baseball have wasted so much of their time with teams that aren't competing?
And that's what one blows my mind is that he's been content. Now, he does have, he's on a $134 million deal. He has a ton of money, which is fine. But it just $144 million deal right now. But it just blows my mind that he's been content with that for 7 years.
And Mike Stanton, too. I'm sorry, Giancarlo.
Yes, exactly. Sitting there and rotting in Miami for so many years. And then finally, and that actually is a great point. I think we're about to literally see Trout do the same thing that Giancarlo did, is that Giancarlo finally said, I kind of want to play in the postseason, right? Like all these greats played in the postseason, and I kind of really want to play.
DC.
No, the postseason. No, Bryce, not DC. No, you play in Philadelphia now. God, it's never going to get old. No, but I think this is going to happen. Like, I mean, it's 2 years away, so we can kind of get ready for it, right? And hopefully the Braves' young pitchers 2 years from now are suddenly really good, and we expect them to be, and they have some time underneath their belt, and Keuchel, I don't know, but this is going to happen, and we need to get ready for it here in Atlanta, because Mike Trout loves the city. He's a Philadelphia guy. He has home season tickets to the Philadelphia Eagles, and literally, the Philadelphia Eagle players give him touchdown footballs. Like, they score on his side of the end zone, and they hand him a football. Marshall's trying not to throw up. I know, but it's true. Like, they love him there. He loves the city. He'll take a hometown discount, throw in a guy like Bryce Harper, and the fact the Phillies are all in, and they're going to be all in for the next couple of years, and Mike Trout is going to be a Philadelphia Philly in a matter of years. Now, we got to remember, he's been in the league 7 years, so when he finally gets there, he'll almost have been an MLB player for a decade. It's like, whoa. It's like, okay. So maybe we could hope that he's kind of getting down from the prime. Yeah, he's starting to go down. Marshall would love that.
That plateau.
Yeah, starting to go all the way back down. But it is interesting, and it's going to happen. Like, I mean, this is something that is 100% for sure. Okay, 100%, right? I probably shouldn't say that, right? That's the 1:30 a.m. talking right now.
You are guaranteeing?
This is
a Mott guarantee.
It's 2 years from now, so it's hard to go like guarantee. Yes, it's going to happen because, you know, like when he breaks his leg or he randomly wakes up and he hates baseball. He doesn't want to play anymore or something ridiculous. But
what if Harper is a disaster and the Phillies have just wasted all
are
this money?
Are your fingers crossed?
Yes, they are.
Okay, that's actually a good point. What if Bryce Harper suddenly is terrible with the Phillies? I mean, it could happen, right? Possibly.
Yeah, no, we see it all the time. A lot of you'll see really good players go to another team, another organization, another city, and not have such great numbers. And you'll see mediocre or bad players go have that same change of venue and completely flip things around. I mean, so while I'm not saying that it's very likely this is going to happen, the possibility still exists.
Right, right. And that's true. The possibility does still exist. But we know Bryce Harper, he likes to hit in Atlanta. He hits well in Atlanta. He's a left-handed hitter, and that's fine. I mean, listen, we can't sugarcoat and sit here, and I mean, we can try all we want, but a very good baseball player, one of the best hitters in the league, went to our rivals, went into our division. And now the rumor reports from ESPN.com is that this all happened, at least years and money-wise, so that way they could bring in right now the best player in baseball in Mike Trout. And so you start to look at it, and it's like, all right, we need to be ready for this. And I think this goes on top of our last segment talking about how fans are so upset that we're not spending money because, yeah, it's not happened yet, but a good hitter just came in, and we can't seem to upgrade our pitching enough to become the best team in the NL East, right? Because that's the problem now is that, yes, we did not spend money, but we didn't spend money in a year where we, one, could have, and two, our rivals did. And so now it's like, are we just going to be fine with competing for a division and maybe making the playoffs and getting out in the first round? Like, is that okay for Braves fans? Or are we at the point where it's like, it's been so dang long and we are ready? Like it feels like we're close. Why not go all in like everyone else is?
I can't remember if I saw this yesterday or earlier today. I mean, prepping for the show, we look at so much different
stuff.
And yeah. So it was either yesterday or today, and I saw projections for the NL East, wins, losses, and who finishes number one,
okay.
Two, three, four. So
yep.
And no surprise, Marlins dead last.
Of course.
But I also think maybe not such a big surprise. I saw that whoever was doing these projections had the Phillies number one.
Okay.
Who do you think they had number two?
Were we not? Were the Braves not at number two? Did they have the Mets above us? Or were we two?
No.
So they had the Mets at two?
No.
We were at two?
No.
Well, then who was it to?
Well, who's the only other team we haven't mentioned yet?
Remember, I'm new to. Oh, they had the Nationals at 2.
DC.
Yeah, DC. They had the Nationals at 2.
They had the Nationals at 2, and then I think they had the Mets at 3, and then the Braves at 4.
Were second
yeah,
to last.
And they had us like. The interesting thing was, if I'm remembering this correctly,
yeah.
Only the Marlins finished with a record below 500. So, Philadelphia, Washington, New York, mm-hmm. and Atlanta mm-hmm. all finished with records over 500.
Yes.
But the Braves just barely over 500.
Yes.
So, they're saying it's going to be a really, really tight race in the NL East. And, I mean, I believe that. Although, they said that last year, and it kind of ended up not being a tight race.
But this makes sense this year that it will be a tight race.
Sure.
So then, I mean, you listen, we can put the Phillies at 1, sure, right? Throw them up there. They can win the NL East. But I think the next 3, Braves, Mets, Nationals, can kind of be a toss-up. And you can kind of throw it around. Listen, the Nets still have great pitching, right? They still have Strasburg, and they still have Scherzer, and they're still a good team. And the Syndergaard still sits up there in the Mets stadium, right? And he's great. And then we, of course, are sitting here with injured pitchers currently, which we already talked about. The fact that they're probably going to be okay. I mean, young arms that could come up. And, of course, young players like all these other – I mean, it's just – I think it's just tough. I'm starting to understand because, again, I'm new to Atlanta, and I'm new to learning about all the sorts of how the beat of the city works. And at first you're like, okay, wait, but we were good last year – and we still made the playoffs and won all these games, but now I'm kind of starting to see it. It's like, why aren't we jumping on that? Why aren't we doubling down and going, okay, we made the playoffs in the last year. Let's compete this year.
Well, and to add insult to injury, if the Phillies win the division, for the Braves to make the playoffs, we've got to snag one of the 2 wild card spots.
Right. That's exactly.
I hate the wild card system.
One game, right?
That's ridiculous. You play 3 game sets all year long, and you're in. And baseball is all about statistics over time. Mm-hmm. And you're gonna. And playoffs are about money, right?
Exactly.
And TV time and all of this. But you're gonna say, okay, one game, win or lose.
And as we see in the postseason,
that's ridiculous
all the time with a guy like Clayton Kershaw. He has 2 bad innings, and you're down 5-1.
Yeah,
and it's all right.
And you're done.
See you later.
You're over.
I'm glad. Really
and then
glad
you're
we
out,
won all these
and
games.
You've had a worse season than you did the year before.
Yep. No, listen. I mean, I can totally agree on that. The way it works. I mean, it makes for good baseball. I mean, it makes for it's exciting to watch. It's like it's a winner take all. It's like right. It's like a game 7, but it's just 1. But at the same time, you make a good point that you can get into a lot of trouble there, and your fans can wait all season long to make the postseason, and then you get to a point where you have your starter goes out and he has 1 bad inning, and you're done. And then you pack him up and you watch the Phillies, who get to actually play multiple games in a divisional round, right? You watch them actually get to roll out multiple starters, and they go on and they do their damage.
Well, not only that, you're at a disadvantage too, because are you throwing your number 1 starter for that 1 game, knowing that you're going to have like 2 days rest before you got to play the division series?
Yep. It's a very good
point. And you're going to play against their number 1 starter to start that series guaranteed.
And then you're trying to rush your number 1 back.
Right.
To get him in time to be able to maybe take a save or whatever. It's
again,
like, oh my goodness.
Another reason I can't stand that 1 game wild card playing.
But that's something that the Braves are going to have to probably be in the running for, right? I mean, we're sitting here 11:35 on a Monday night, and
1:35.
What is it? 1:35? Good Lord!
You seeing double? You might not need
1:35. 1:35 a.m. right now. We're gonna take a quick break. When we come back, we're gonna wrap up the show, and I'm gonna pick Marshall's brain. Last week at this time, Marshall picked my brain. Kind of get to know me. We're gonna get to know Marshall whenever we come back. And we're gonna wrap it up on all the sports coming around in the following week. Don't go anywhere. Thomas Mott, 92.9 The Game. Back here on 92.9 The Game, 1:40 a.m. on the East Coast. This song is actually was the lead-in song for one of the shows I interned at in Charlotte, North Carolina. So I heard this all the time. It's Thomas Mott sitting in with you here on my second night on the air. And we are about done. We got one more segment, then we'll wrap it up and throw it to Amy Lawrence and CBS National Radio. Of course, Marshall Parker, my awesome producer, in with us as always so far, at least for the first two shows. And we're going to be together the majority of the way. A couple times, yeah. Maybe not, but the majority of the way. You know, it'll be okay. And again, we're still trying to figure out the name for the show. Got a lot of great suggestions, almost too many, because now we got to narrow them down. We're going to figure it out, and we're going to go to kind of the portion of the show. We're on to pick Marshall's brain. Before we do that, though, something I forgot to hit on, because I don't know how much we all actually care about. Maybe we do. The Atlanta Legends, they actually won a game last night. I mean, I didn't even hit this on the show last night because we had so many other things to talk about. They did beat the Arizona Hotshots 14-11. But the big news in this one was the fact that Aaron Murray actually played, our former Georgia boy, who the Legends drafted number one overall in the Lions quarterback draft, and then they sat him behind the Sims kid, who was terrible. And then they finally brought in Aaron Murray, and he throws for 254 yards and throws a touchdown, and the Legends finally win a game against the Arizona Hotshots. Many people had them as the worst team in the AAF, 8 out of 8, I guess you could say. But, I mean, Aaron Murray went 20 for 33, 60% completion percentage, 254 yards, no interceptions, and no touchdowns. So he scrambled a decent amount. I mean, overall, a good night for the Atlanta Legends and Aaron Murray getting the start. We'll see if it turns it around. The AAF's an interesting thing for me because I'm just wondering if it can catch on. And I understand that it's hard to root for these teams because we forget that all these other teams we root for, Braves, Falcons, I mean, UGA, we have, like, connections to them. Like, we've been loving them for years, and now you want us to love a brand new team that, one, isn't very good, and two, we just really don't care about.
Well, but the same thing didn't happen with Atlanta United, and that's, I think the big reason why we're seeing that with the AAF is because now all of a sudden we have this second professional football team that is in the city, and we're already professional football fans, and we're already football fans.
And that's
and now you're adding to all of this, and they have different rules. And yeah, it's cool. We get to see some of like our old players,
yeah,
that we loved in college, but didn't necessarily make it in the NFL. But still, it's just kind of like,
well, and you hit it on the head. Is that when Atlanta United came, soccer fans rejoiced because like we didn't have that before. And, like, soccer heads had someone to pour their heart into. Oh, yeah, and Atlanta United was really good, right? That also helps as well. But when you have the Legends, I mean, you're not going to pull Falcon fans away. You know, I mean, like football fans will watch because it's football, which I understand. And apparently they've still had decent ratings, even though they can only get, like, 10,000 people to be there for ticket sales and
How
stuff.
How much AAF have you watched?
I watched opening night. It was on the TV, and I haven't watched a game since.
I have watched about maybe 5 minutes.
Yeah. And I think that would probably be what the majority of people did. They had good numbers opening night. And people are like, I mean, I just got better things to do. Yeah, I mean, I'll clear my schedule for Sunday Night Football. I'll clear my schedule, you know, when insert favorite football team is on, right? Sunday afternoons. It doesn't even matter if it's not my favorite team. You know, anyone's on.
Saturdays?
Oh, yeah.
From September until, like, what? December?
December, January, February. Yeah.
Saturdays and Sundays. That's appointment watching TV.
It's like, it doesn't matter what I have going on. That's what I'm doing on my Saturdays and Sundays to get back from church, and we're going to sit down and watch football. Whereas right now, it's like, you know, it's Saturday night. I'd rather go out, you know, and hang out with the friends.
Even in the South, like, huge college football fans around here.
Oh, yeah.
Of a bunch of different teams, not just the North Avenue Trade School. Throwing a little shade there.
Yeah.
And University of Georgia, but I mean, there are huge college football fans from all over, especially down here in the South.
Yeah.
So, like, not only are we making time on Thursday nights and Sundays and Monday nights to watch NFL, but we're also setting aside that same time on Saturdays.
It's really amazing how much we actually do watch, and I think that was that the AAF was trying to grab, but they just weren't able to. I mean, I'm not saying they weren't able to, because it's been successful, and they have. I mean, they have ticket sales, I guess, and people do watch and they do care. I don't want to harp on them too much, but it's tough for me to kind of get into. I want to move on, finally, before we finish up here. I want to kind of get to know Marshall, because I literally have known Marshall for all of, like, less than a week. Now, we've been texting back and forth like crazy because we try to get you the best show possible, and I've been picking Marshall's brain like crazy sports-wise, but I wanted to pick it Just to get to know Marshall, because he's going to be the other voice that you hear on my show. And so I asked Marshall, first off, I think we know this, but you were born in Atlanta.
No.
Oh, okay. So then where were you born?
Charleston, South Carolina.
No way. Okay, yep. So how long have you been in Atlanta?
The majority of my life.
What was your first Atlanta sports memory?
Ooh.
Yeah. You hit me with these yesterday, so it's my turn.
Okay. 1991, Atlanta Braves.
Okay.
Like that whole season.
Right. Your very first time.
And that's the Sid Slid season and all of that. Worst to first.
Okay.
Yeah.
Excellent. This one I always ask people because I was curious because, like, I'm really young. So I try and look back at my very first, like, what was the first Super Bowl I remember sitting down and having, like, a peak interest in watching the whole thing and remembering it, right? So for you, what was the first Super Bowl you remember sitting down and watching?
Oh, my gosh.
That's a tough one, right?
No idea.
It's always interesting if you're listening in the car or at home. It's like, what was the first Super Bowl that you actually had a peaked interest in to sit down and actually watch? Like, I remember when the Bucks played the Raiders, I was really young. And I remember sitting down and watching a lot of that. But then my parents had a Super Bowl party, and so they booked, like, a big bounce house. And so I kind of would go from the game to the bounce house back and forth because I was really, really young. But it's always interesting to see what... which one is your first memory? So you don't remember?
No.
Okay, so you're driving in a car, and you're starving, and the only thing you have is a gas station. What do you get? What's your go-to?
Ooh, maybe some taquitos or hot dogs from
so long.
Quick Trip.
You would get a hot dog.
Yeah, I'd get a hot dog from Quick Trip.
Okay, a Quick Trip one. But if it was like a really ratty one, it's like...
Oh, if it's a really ratty one, I'm getting something packaged.
Very good. I like that idea. What's your guilty pleasure movie that you really shouldn't like, but you really do like it? These are tough. I'm asking some tough ones. We didn't run these by each other at the beginning.
No, you don't have one. And I didn't do that to you last night either. So
you don't
have
a movie that like.
No. That's not what I was saying. Is I was agreeing that we didn't run these questions by each other.
Right.
I'll just say it. When Harry Met Sally.
Okay, that's a good one.
That's
right?
A great movie.
That's a good one. That one counts. Listen, and then you watch it with a girl. That one's great as well. Oh man, this is really bad. I really like the new Lindsay Lohan Parent Trap. I don't know why. Like, it's super rewatchable. I don't know. Like, it's on the little Hallmark or whatever.
Okay.
It's like, this one's pretty good.
I've seen it.
There are a lot of others, right? That I was thinking Guilty Pleasure, though.
You were lingering on that N going to new Lindsay Lohan. And I thought you were going to say The Notebook for a second.
No, I've never seen The Notebook.
I haven't either.
I've never seen it. No, I have not seen it. I'm sure it's great, but I have not seen The Notebook. I'm going through my list here. Let's get this. Another one is, who was your childhood sports idol?
Nolan Ryan.
Nolan Ryan. That's a good one to have. That's a really, really, that's a good one to have. Okay, one more. You asked me this one.
I always wanted to be a pitcher.
Yeah, I think everybody did, right?
I don't have the height for it.
I didn't either.
Especially in today's game.
Yeah, I didn't either.
But I'll give you, I'll tell you part of the reason why Nolan Ryan. The very first professional sports game I ever saw was in 1988.
Yeah.
At Texas Stadium. In Arlington, Rangers versus the A's.
Oh, man.
Nolan Ryan on the mound. Jose Canseco, Ricky Henderson, all these guys. Nolan Ryan, that was the night he threw his 5,000th strikeout.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm there with my grandfather and my grandmother.
What a memory.
Yeah. I mean,
that one's hard to beat. The 5,000th strikeout.
Yeah.
Nolan Ryan, your grandparents are there. That one's really good. Last one, a little bit of a fun one. You asked me my celebrity crush. Who's your celebrity crush?
Ooh.
It's hard, right? Because they're all gorgeous, you know?
It's
tough.
I don't know.
Last night I said Tim Tebow's new fiance because she's gorgeous. The Miss Universe from 2017, that's who I said because she's incredibly attractive. But they're all gorgeous, right?
Yeah, they are. Courtney Cox.
Okay, that's fair. It's fair, right? I mean, they're all, I mean, just dartboard, right?
Ooh, wait, no.
Uh-oh.
What's her name?
Movie. Give me the movie that she's in.
Hunger Games, Passengers.
Jennifer Lawrence.
Yes, Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah, she's really pretty too. Yep. Okay, there you go. That was us trying to get to know Marshall. Because again, we're brand new, right? Like, this is our second show together, and we're trying to find our way, find our voice, because we're going to be here a lot during these hours. And of course, we're about 10 minutes away from wrapping up the show, and then we're going to send it to the CBS National Network and Amy Lawrence holding down the fort from 2 a.m. to 6 a.m. And then, of course, you have John and Hugh in the morning to get your Tuesday morning started off. And I'm sure they're going to talk a lot of Grady Jarrett, and hopefully they get some good interviews there too, because Grady Jarrett signs his, well, he hadn't signed yet, but they have put the franchise tag on him. And we'll probably talk about that tomorrow night as well. Keep it right here. We got one more quick segment to wrap it up before we all head to bed. And we send it to the National Network right here. Thomas Mott, 99 The Game.
Ground control to Major Tom.
It's about that time. About that time where Marshall and I get on up out of here, as we have been on since about 10:25 p.m. as we were recapping the Hawks game. Again, if you've been with us the entire time, really appreciate it. But overall, it's been a really, really great show, a jam-packed show. And we try to build these shows each day to give you as much Atlanta Hawks news as possible and tie in some national stuff as well. We open with Grady Jarrett and him being franchise tagged and what that means for the Atlanta Falcons in general. Again, I'm Thomas Mott along with Marshall Parker, and we are right about 2 minutes away from sending it to Amy Lawrence and the CBS National Network for your 2 to 6 a.m. national sports radio. Again, we're trying to get the podcast figured out. We're going to start uploading the podcast to the full version of our show, podcast form, to 929thegame.com. We're just working on that. And it will, again, the show just started and we got to figure out, we got password problems and all sorts of stuff, but it'll be up there. And that way, if you missed any part of this show or yesterday's show, you can always tune in and listen anytime. And you can listen online and wherever you are, wherever you may be. It's freezing cold outside, I'm being told. It was freezing when I walked in, and Marshall told me while wearing a very warm looking hat that's only gotten colder.
Yep.
And I have on jeans, Sperry's, and a long sleeve t-shirt because I'm an idiot and I forgot to bring a jacket. So that'll be a lot of fun.
You need a scarf too.
It's so cold outside. Oh my gosh. I lived in New York for a semester and it blizzarded 4 times while I was there.
Wow.
And it was like -4 every day. It was ridiculous. But this isn't quite that. But when you're in just a plain t-shirt, then I guess it gets a little bit worse. But overall, a really good show. We talked about LeBron James, and now maybe he has a plan. Because, again, they lost tonight, and they're probably out of the any sort of chance of getting the 8th seed. But we'll see what LeBron James does. And I'm sure if you watch any sort of sports tomorrow morning, it's all going to be LeBron James.
Phoenix is still the only team that's been eliminated mathematically. So,
technically. Yeah. Oh, boy.
Look, a bunch are about ready to fall.
I guess you could be Phoenix, right? It could only be worse. And then, of course, we also we talked a lot of baseball. I mean, Dallas Keuchel, we keep waiting for that to happen. It could be a couple weeks. I mean, who knows where he's going to land. The Braves are definitely still interested. And then wrapped up our show, Atlanta Legends, and then a lot of Trae Young talk along the NBA. We'll be on tomorrow night from 11 to 2 a.m. This is Thomas Mott along with Marshall Parker. Thank you guys for tuning in. All the love and support. Follow me on Twitter at RealThomasMott. Enjoy the rest of your day. Here's the National Network.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.